Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Outside, and you're gonna warm up with a nice hot dream right here on Katie Keencast. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin. This polar vortex has got me locked in here.
Yeah, we are having a real bottle episode going on here on Katie Keencast, and we're gonna be talking about Katie Keen Chapter 5, Song for a Winter's Night. I'll just say before we get into it, this, in my mind, was the most emotional episode of the show so far.
It was. Everyone's going through it. A lot of confrontations in this episode that I thought were really well handled, like nice nuance, but at the same time, they're being like bad friends and then great friends right back to back.
And I liked having this sort of episode right here. Like, there's a big thing that we're going to talk about at the end of the episode that happens that I think propels it forward probably through the rest of the season.
Yeah.
But as is, if you're going to do a bottle episode, and for those of you who don't know, a bottle episode is like...
It's when you drink a bottle of wine as you're watching it.
But I knew it as vodka when I was coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Biz. it's you save budget a little bit. You shoot it all on one set. Here, everybody is trapped inside of the apartment because of this polar vortex. But it works. It works really well because it creates this pressure cooker of lies and secrets that are building over the past couple of episodes.
Yeah.
We've seen them be supportive friends, and now it all changes.
Yeah.
So with that out of the way, let's do a little bit of recap. First of all, there's Katie Keen. She works at Lacey's. Has a couple of people she works with there, including Gloria, who is in charge of the personal shopper department, and Francois, who is in charge of the window dressing department.
And maybe a ghost, because he never interacts with anyone except for Katie Keen.
Well, I actually have a theory about that that I want to talk about at the end of the episode. Not about him being a ghost, but about what his purpose in the show is.
Yes.
So remind me about that. And there's a mean girl named Amanda who just does not like her. Katie recently broke up with her boxer boyfriend, K.O. Kelly, who does not show up this episode, but his presence is felt. And before the show started, her mom passed away rather suddenly. Was it cancer?
Cancer, I think.
Okay. She passed away of cancer, left her sewing machine and dreams and hopes of being a fashion designer. Other characters you probably need to know about.
You always inherit your parents' dreams when they die.
Kind of.
Yeah, that's true. Sort My of. Father died, and all I got were his dreams about the 1950s.
And those $50 million.
And all of the... all his
That you started your podcasting episode.
Exactly. He gave me his antique podcasting equipment.
Oh, that was very nice.
Yeah, look, it's working great.
Yeah. Well, debatable. other characters you need to know about... Katie lives with Jorge Lopez, a.k.a. Ginger Lopez. That's her drag name. Jorge has come out to his parents, but has not come out as a drag queen yet. His parents own the building that they live in. They own the bodega downstairs.
Yes.
They own the apartment. Jorge lives with them, though, does pay rent, one assumes, and has Broadway dreams, though those don't get touched on too much this episode.
Yeah, Broadway or off-Broadway, which is more appealing for him.
Those are slightly more achievable dreams.
Indeed. New York dreams, off Broadway, achieved. We've conquered that.
We have achieved Jorge's dreams.
Yeah.
Living in the apartment is Josie McCoy. Josie McCoy is starting a music career. Specifically, she has been tangling with a bunch of rich folks and all the Cabot family. There's Zandra Cabot, who is her antagonist. Zandra was, it turns out, not actually a twin with her brother Alex Cabot, who Josie has slept with. She was an ex-girlfriend before the parents got married. Now, Mr. Cabot, the head of the family, offered Josie $10,000 to make her EP.
Mm-hmm.
but on the condition that basically she sleeps with Alex. Like, he didn't come out and say that. He said, take care of him. But that's kind of the deal that's going on there.
It's fucked up.
It's pretty fucked up. But classic rom-com scenario.
Yeah.
Which are also mostly fucked up.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. 27 dresses? Oh, that's expensive.
Don't even get me started.
Yeah.
So she also works at a place called Chubby's. It's a record store. And they, well, we'll get into more of that this episode. Mm. And then the last person you need to know about is Pepper. Pepper is a con woman. She is starting. I mean, she is.
Wow.
She is.
She's a woman first.
Yeah, she's a woman con.
Yeah. Future con, if she doesn't stop fucking up.
Well, she's been, she's constantly name dropping. Her friends don't really seem to know about this yet, but she is currently living in the space that she has bought, that she is trying to build up a multimedia empire to be the Pepper Plant. A destination a la Andy Warhol.
She didn't even buy it. She's just renting it. That's even weirder because... I think she is going to... What I like about her character is she's sort of that, like... side of being the dreamer, the struggling New York person where you'll say anything to get by, which I think is a real thing. Like, especially like I first moved here a year, I was an actor, writer, comedy person, also waiting tables. I was not honest to my restaurant about what I was doing or why I needed time off. Elaborate schemes of calling in sick. There's a little bit of con person in the New York dreamer. And I like that they sort of distilled that all into the Pepper character.
I mean, most of the jobs that I had pretty early on, I was like, yes, I'm doing my job, but I was writing sketch comedy the entire time.
Of course.
And then we'd rehearse there after hours and, you know, all sorts of other debaucherous things.
Disgusting. You're a monster.
Oh, God.
Writing a sketch at work? What are you? When you were working
classic
for...
Classic bad boy behavior.
You are a bad boy.
Let's get into the show. Things, as we mentioned, are pretty direct because it is mostly in this one space. And it starts out in the apartment with a fashion show. Everybody's doing it. Everybody's getting ready. She wants to get ready to apply to Parsons.
Yes.
And needs a fleet of outfits, she thinks, to apply. Everybody has great outfits except for Pepper's. And we get a glimpse of a, not exactly a MacGuffin in this episode, but there is a box that was left by Katie's mom that she has never opened that's in her closet.
She's never really had the, she's still sad and upset mourning her mother's death, and so she's never really had it in her to officially go through that box. Totally understand that, and I think this is really well used in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we'll get to the big emotional moments with that later, but there's also a nice moment. I like how Pepper's lies fall apart this episode.
Yeah.
Because starting right here, she says, oh, can't you get X designer to do a recommendation for me? And she's like, oh, well, of course you could do that, but you have Gloria Grandbilt who you work for. Why don't you just get her?
Yeah.
And I think it's pretty clear that she could not get this person, but her friends do not know that.
Yeah. And I think Josie, I mean, she's mad at Pepper in this episode, but I think she's the one who's like, who is this? Why do you guys trust her? She sounds insane all the time.
Yeah.
So she's definitely the one that from the jump in this episode is ready to upend Pepper and her.
She is. Well, the other thing that's interesting, I mean, getting back to like early New York friend groups, it's very much like elementary school in a way where you've all moved to this new place.
And there's one liar in every friend group. And if you can't spot the liar, you're the liar.
Oh, shit. But you move to New York, like you're instantly like, we are in this cabal. We are all friends together.
Yeah.
We are all in this. We're going to make it. We're the most important people. We're going to take over the world. You do rotate through people sometimes. Like, there's a new person, you adopt them immediately, but then there gets to a point where either they stay a part of your friend group or it falls apart. And that's what Josie is at right now.
Yeah, and I think this is well done in this episode. Like, when I moved here, I was in different, like, sketch comedy groups. We actually first met as mortal enemies, I want to say.
When we were... You made me bow to you at one point.
That was other people in the group.
Yeah.
Alex and I were in two different sketch groups that were in a competition with, like, 500...
What was it called? Sketch Fights?
Something. No, I don't remember. It was some kind of something like Sketch Fights at this random comedy theater that since closed. And we were up. We ended up going into the finals. Our two groups went head to head. And then no offense, no dig here. We won. And you guys were a much more established sketch group. You guys were the sort of the giants there, and we were like young, scrappy.
So it was all David versus Goliath. It
really, definitely. I mean, that's how we told the story, especially when we won.
We told the story as like two friends getting together. So nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice to see friends.
But
equals,
some of the people in this sketch group were maybe a little overzealous, downright mean when it came to rubbing it in your faces. I was like, chill out. And I'm not friends with them anymore.
Right. Well, I mean, also the host, though. Like, the host egged everybody on when they were like, bow, 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 when your group won. And we were like, all right, I guess, guys, okay, this is terrible. But anyway,
in this situation, we're both peppers, I think.
Yes, I think so. I think that's absolutely totally fair.
But I do, to your point that made me tell that sort of weird story, is that, the people you fall into when you first move to New York, you know, like one or two of them may remain your friends, but I think it's very rare that it's like we all are rising together. Because so many, and I think this episode does a good job of saying, everyone's going in their own direction, and it's you just happen to be together. And true friendships are harder to form.
Well, and that gets immediately into it where... you get the first sense of this polar vortex, a very theatrical wind blows in the background.
Yeah.
I loved how they leaned into that this episode as well, like just the stage atmosphere of the whole thing.
It felt like a play.
Yes.
And even when the every time the door would open, there was like a sound cue that it felt like someone was, a teenager was like, to the door wind, and they press a button.
I love that. Like having a theater background, I love that. I hope people who do not have a theater background watching the show appreciate what they're going for in the sense, because it's so clear how they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's great. But what we get to here is that Josie says, oh, I couldn't afford the cable bill. I don't really watch the cable anyway.
She's working at Plunkin' and Chubby's. She's working at Plunkin' and Chubby's.
Plunkin' and Chubby's. They should join together.
Great law firm, by the way.
Yes. But they say that was very Marcy of you, indicating there's this history there. They don't really get into. And then we get one. There's only a couple of scenes that take place outside the apartment. Here we get Gloria looking through her designs and says, who are you designing for? A drag queen.
Yeah.
Pretty funny line. Pretty good. Pointed.
Yep.
But she's kind of right. Like, this is the thing that I like about Gloria. There's a lot of stuff I like about Gloria beyond Catherine Linhas's performance.
Especially this episode. It's a good Gloria episode.
Well, because she points out, she's like, you're designing a dress by dress by dress or outfit by outfit. You're not designing for the person. There's no idea there. You're hiding the Katie Keene.
Yes. Don't hide the Keene.
Don't hide the Keene. There's also another great moment right after that where she agrees. She says, listen, you need to make me a gown for this ball. Very classic fairy tale scenario. Yep. Make me a gown for the ball. And she does not tell her to let her take the measurements. Instead, she just passes her the measurements.
Yeah.
Very fun. Yeah.
Gloria was so good in this episode. She, rather than just being mean, she sort of feels like she actually is liking Katie without ever saying it. She's just sort of being her mentor in a way.
Yeah.
Her slightly mean mentor. Her mentor.
Oh,
I guess is
ooh, that's good. Did you just claim that?
I did. I just claimed that. Mean tour.
And then we get another scene with Francois. They talk. Basically, he's like, trust yourself, and then sends her home so she can go work on the dress.
Yeah.
I'll just mention the thing now that I think about Francois. I think you might have actually mentioned something about this in the last episode, but Francois is the fairy godmother.
Yeah.
That's,
I think that's
great. That's what he is.
Especially in this episode, he's like, go home and sketch. And at the end of the episode, there's a mystery set up with her mom that's connected to Lacey somehow. And I think Francois knows something about that.
Well, or is going to help her get towards that goal.
I would guess that he has been told, like, the mom knew Francois in some way.
Do we want to jump ahead and just talk about this ending here since we're already talking about
it? Sure.
I mean, just this is like big spoiler for the end of the episode. Yeah. Assume you've watched the episode before this.
It'd be crazy if you watched 10 minutes of the episode and then listened to 10 minutes of our podcast. That's, I mean, no offense, but don't consume this that way.
I listened to it during commercial breaks.
Oh, God.
And then stop.
So sorry.
Yeah, please don't do that. But at the end of the episode, she discovers this sewing machine that she got from her mom was a Lacey sewing machine.
Yeah.
And she finds, what's the thing on it? It says, For Catherine Love LL. And she's like, what is happening? This is the clearest indicator to me that this is like legit a fairy tale.
Yeah.
She has been forced by the mean stepmother, who is Gloria Gradbelt, to work in the basement at Lacey's when in fact she's the princess, right?
She is maybe, well, I think LL, the second L is probably Lacey,
right?
I would think. And either, maybe she is the daughter. We've never heard about a father. Maybe she's secretly the daughter of some sort of founder of Lacey. She is the princess.
Yes.
And I think that's they did such a good job of making it such a small reveal when they've said this is a fairy tale.
Yes.
So like the princess becomes the princess at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that's very cool. I think she's going to come into conflict with Mrs. Lacey, who we've met a couple times here,
right,
about whatever that reveal is. Mm-hmm. And we're going to find out what the mom's relationship there
right.
was, which is very cool.
I have to imagine it is a classic raised parents, son of Palpatine situation.
Yeah.
Where, you know, he was supposed to inherit the dark side of the Force.
Yeah.
He ran away from Lacey's, fell in love with this woman. They got killed by some guy outside who fell into a snake cave. Later on, Katie Keene comes in, heals the snake, finds a dagger that leads her to the Death Star. Should I keep going?
Definitely not.
Okay.
Or it could be a classic Sleeping Beauty situation where a bunch of thorns grow around Lacey's department store, and Katie has to battle through and then fight a Gloria, who's since become a dragon.
Right. Or it could be a classic 101 Dalmatian situation where later on, Katie kidnaps 100 baby dogs and skins them and turns them into a coat.
Oh, I was going to say Gloria is like, I want to wear millennial coats. I need to capture millennials and make them into coats.
Millennial coats are ruining the millennial industry is all I have to say.
It's true.
So anyway, then jumping back to everybody else, after we finish up that stuff with Katie, Ginger is walking down the hallway, almost bumps into her mom, gets very awkward about it. That leads into a funny line later where I think she's like, I would recognize that twitch anywhere, essentially.
Yeah.
Very cute.
Very cute.
But Chubby, as we continue to get the setup, the conflicts, takes Josie down to the recording studio. Patty Smith used to record there. They're looking for a heater, but he just happens to have a recording studio down there.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah.
It makes total sense for the show.
It's crazy that she didn't know about it, that she spent all that time arranging something, and he's like, oh, I have a speakeasy called La Bandouille
in my
business.
Oh, your dream? I have a dusty old version of it right here under the floor.
Well, that used to be my dream. somebody is going to get kissed and turned out to be a beautiful prince at some point, some ugly person.
Perhaps
right?
It's Alex Cabot?
Ooh, maybe. He's pretty hot, though, so.
Yes, but he keeps fucking up. I love his line later in this episode where he's like, I have to apologize yet again to you, Josie. speaking on Josie, though, she's hiding the EP deal from her friends.
Right.
I thought this was interesting. Everyone has a sort of a secret in this episode. She goes after Pepper so much in the episode, but she also is busted later on. And
her secret makes sense to me, though. Like, her holding that back, because that is, like we talked about, a pretty fucked up deal.
Yeah.
And even if they're like, you got to give something to get something.
It's not something you want to admit to your friends.
Right, exactly.
Hey, I'm rich, but I have to fuck this dude I maybe don't like.
Well, that she likes. That's
now
the thing.
As we find out in this episode, she does have strong feelings for her, and something gets in the way of that in that the kissing Cabot story leaks, and Josie immediately thinks it's Pepper. So another wrench is thrown in her already pretty wrenched up relationship with Alexander Cabot.
Yeah. Also missed opportunity to use the headline, Cabot's cheesin'.
Oh, yeah, that's good. You got to really be into cheese to know the brand Cabot, which clearly you're a cheesehead. In the football sense.
Not in Wisconsin.
Only in the actual cheese sense.
Yes. Talk to me about cheese.
That's a hell of a good thing you said.
Ooh.
That's an upstate cheese that no one knows about.
Yeah, no, I know about
you do. You went to college up there. Yeah.
Anyway, then back to the apartment for the bulk of the episode. Katie and Jorge in the apartment. It's freezing. He's worried that his mom saw him as Ginger, and she reveals she can't make a gown for his Aida number that he's going to do down at Molly's Crisis.
She's too busy.
She needs to make Gloria the dress, so you get seeds of the conflict between them.
Let me just say on the weather tip that a polar vortex wouldn't actually shut things down. It's just very cold.
Right.
You're talking about, that's an LA understanding of New York weather. As New Yorkers, I think we can really say a nor'easter, that'll shut a place down.
Yes. There was a polar vortex a couple of weeks ago, and I feel like everybody got the push notification about it. It was like, what the fuck is this? I don't care.
Yeah, it was just cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very cold. What are you talking about?
Yeah. So I'd be very surprised if things shut down for a polar vortex, but I like it for the purposes of this television program.
Yes, exactly.
But all you weatherheads out there know that we keep it 100 when it comes to the cold weather in New York City.
Yeah, we'll walk through whatever.
Yeah.
There's coronavirus loose everywhere where people are like, I'll lick this subway.
Exactly. No one, actually, I will say the subways are very empty right now.
They are very empty, and I'm very nervous about touching everything. I don't know why I said that. So she's got to make Gloria the dress. Josie comes in. She's pissed about the headline. And then Pepper enters. Everyone is literally chilly. Katie, Oh, right. Right. I wrote down a note and I didn't know what I wrote down. But Katie is watching this interview with Gloria.
Yes.
She really needs to learn to watch the entire interview.
Again, don't take a break and listen to a podcast about the interview. Keep watching the interview because she's like, I have the perfect dress for her. And then she works on it for like a while. And then this is later in the episode. Gloria in the next line in the documentary is like, I would never wear this type of dress.
Just keep watching. It's probably like a 4-minute video. You can finish it, Katie.
Yeah, Katie, come on. Use your time.
Get off your Snapchat. Get off your TikTok. Wow. Watch some TV for a change.
Yeah, there you go. You're like a reverse boomer. I love Katie's K sweater.
Me too.
Very jealous of that.
Yes.
I want that.
That makes a lot more sense than Jughead's S shirt.
Yes.
Which stands for Serpents?
Soup Head?
Soup Head. Yeah, it probably stands for Soup Head or Springfield. Yeah. Simpsons?
Definitely Simpsons.
Yes. It stands for something. I actually forgot what it was, but that is very cute. They're out of food. Jorge's mom calls. The Pepper goes to scout it out for him and goes downstairs, comes back with some honestly delicious looking empanadas.
They did.
Oh my God. But I got so hungry.
I know. But no sauce.
Yeah. So another interesting conflict here. We talked about last episode that there was a remarkably nuanced take on Jorge's relationship with his dad.
Yes.
That his dad was accepting of his homosexuality, but still dismissive of his own good looks, of his own power as a person to get anybody handsome. Yeah. And here we get another nuance there, which is that his dad is... It apparently was a hard coming out for Jorge. And so, in fact, coming out as a drag queen would probably be a step too far.
Yeah, he doesn't want to sort of risk damaging the relationship that he just feels like he's gotten back in good sort of good standing with his parents.
And I feel like we're on the first step of this storyline, though, right?
Yeah.
Because that's got to come out at some point.
Yeah, I mean, we can just maybe talk about this all together right now.
Sure.
Like, Jorge's very stressed about the whole thing, but he talks it through with the rest of the gang. And then finally, at the end of the episode, walks out to meet his mom as Ginger. And his mom is, or her mom is so great about it.
Oh,
and
it's
very
so
cute,
sweet.
Complimentary. I love when the mom says, you remind me of me when I was younger.
Oh.
And Ginger's like, that's what I modeled my so drag
good.
Character on. And I was like, oh, that's so nice.
It was so,
so
sweet.
I was like tearing up.
Yeah.
It was so sweet.
There were several times I was tearing up during the episode.
Yeah.
That moment, Jorge's conversation with Katie, when Katie yells at Jorge.
Yeah.
Lots of great dramatic stuff throughout this episode.
Well, and we learned about Jorge that Katie's mom took Jorge in for a year when he came out to his parents and they rejected him. I was like, that was such a huge detail said in such a subtle way in this episode.
It feels like they've really put in the work on this show to come up with a backstory for the characters, and it's not readily apparent when you come in because, you know, they sent out the first three episodes, and I think a lot of the reviews are like, this is fluff. It's fun, but it's fluff.
Yeah.
But I really do think, like, that's what the foot they wanted to put forward with it, that it is this pop, this bubblegum fairy tale, but now that they've got you there, now that they're in the fifth episode, they're really starting to dig into the characters and make them feel more.
And, like, they all have real issues that they're, in this episode specifically, that they're, like, struggling with, getting over, moving past, together, confronting, like... Yeah, I agree. It's a fairy tale with some real, like, a strong base in, like, a modern reality.
Yeah. So jumping back into the storyline, Josie is digging hard into Pepper. She fakes, pretends to be Pepper, calls up the hotel. She's like...
Flawless impersonation.
Yes. Well, you know, actually it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But she doesn't understand.
I mean, it was good.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. She doesn't understand why Pepper doesn't go to the hotel, but she's clearly needling her. She says she gave her room to a pigeon lady.
Yeah. That's the thing about Pepper. She doesn't just, like, lie to get past
it. She lies big.
She lies too big.
Yeah.
And that's what I think gets her. Josie's like, bullshit, you gave it to a pigeon lady. That's a story in Home Alone 2.
Do you think all of her lies are from the Home Alone series?
We should rewatch it just to get a background.
We'll
character.
Review it on the next episode.
Yeah.
Yes. Except for one scene in Home Alone 2. I don't want to talk
we'll
about
We'll skip
it.
That one, yeah.
Yeah, you know the one.
Yeah, you know the one we're talking about.
Yeah, the one with the wet bandits.
Exactly, those
like
guys. I just don't get it. That's my least favorite part of the movie.
Oh,
I just love that he's alone.
Yeah, I like to... There's a Home Alone podcast I listen to, and they skip all the wet bandits.
Yeah, the boring really old battle parts.
So yeah, Josie confronts Pepper. She wants to know what's really going on. And again, like what I like about the resolution of this storyline is they lay into each other.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they care about each other and they're friends. So despite the fact that Josie's laying into Pepper, then later Pepper calls her a Marcy again. She's just one in a long line of people who sleep on the couch.
Yeah, this is devastating. This is so mean, but like really well done, I thought.
Yeah. But ultimately what she does is she gets the information. Like she tries to make it right. She finds out using her actual connections what was going on. And this is a great Easter eggs. It turns out that the person who leaked the information about the Cabots was Tuxedo Sebastian,
yeah,
which is the cat from Josie and the Pussycats that Alexandra Cabot owns.
Yeah.
And Xandra is using that as a tip. So you don't get to see the cat. The cat's not. Clearly, the whole Archieverse, very against cats.
Yeah.
Same with Salem over on Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Exactly. Cats should be cats. No talking.
But she reveals it to her, and she also says her dad froze her accounts, which I don't know if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But
this was feels like a coming clean moment for both of them. Like,
yeah.
It would be fucked up if she was like, all right, let's open up and be friends.
Right.
And here's some more lies about my life.
And there's also another interesting detail. Josie says that her mom doesn't approve of her coming to New York, which we, of course, know as Sierra McCoy.
Yeah.
And she's probably showing up later on this season. I thought that was interesting. I thought that was surprising because we know her dad doesn't really approve of her a lot of the time, but her mom always seems to support her no matter what. So I'm curious to find out more about that.
Yeah, and I bet we'll get that backstory.
Yeah. And then the main bulk of it is the Katie storyline. She is losing it throughout. She rips up the idea dress for Gloria's outfit.
Well, this is after Jorge breaks her mom's sewing machine.
Right.
Because Katie's distracted. She's sketching in the bathtub, which is not a great place for pencil and paper,
right?
In my experience. This sewing machine is so important to her, and Jorge takes it upon himself to try to fix the dress, breaks it. Katie's super mad. Alexa helps.
Yes, this is great. Another great product integration.
Yeah. So then, like you're saying, Katie rips up the Aida dress to make Gloria's dress when she then shits on the fit and flare dress that it was Katie's first design choice. Jorge fails at getting the sewing machine. And I like this because I was like, no, you guys all have to solve this together. The outside world, we're ignoring this episode. There's nothing for it. This episode's about you guys all dealing with your stuff.
And the way that they get it back together, Jorge can't get another machine. He tries to get another machine for her. It's too cold. Everybody is closed. So he dresses up a drag as Ginger, and they perform a number for Katie from Aida, My Strongest Suit. I believe that's what it's called. Very cute. Very fun. This worked a lot better for me than the group number the last episode.
Yeah.
Just because of the nature of the episode, I think.
Yeah. No, I think that's true. And the fact that it was like, well, yeah, they're trapped inside, so like they have time to sing and do a little song.
Yeah. You know, the other thing this made me think of, like, just because it was so surprising to see them suddenly do a choreographed number the last episode is, I mean, I haven't done musical theater in a while, but like back when I was doing musical theater in college and right after college, there was always these moments that I didn't realize until later. Oh, right. Everybody does this. Is you go to a cast party or something and everybody would suddenly be singing numbers from the show or from any show and like doing choreography and dancing around. And I remember so clearly like sitting on the floor of an after party in college and being like, this is the most amazing group of people in the world. And just being so starry-eyed about it. But, like, that's what musical theater people are like. They're always dancing around. They're always singing.
They're dreamers.
I think that's why an Aida number worked a little better for me than Dirty, which doesn't quite fit that world in the same way, even though that was a fun number.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all of that. I mean, to talk about just the performances in general, I thought Lucy Hale's performance this episode was just great. Like,
so
all these emotional scenes that she had to do about her mom, at the same time balancing just the frenetic nature of all of these people in the apartment at the same time. Just really, really great.
Yeah, it was a really, we've seen her go through a lot over the course of these episodes, but this was definitely the one that like let her stretch her acting chops the most, which was nice. And in particular, in the next scene where Jorge says, may I approach the bed, tries to talk to her, but Katie is angry, and she's angry not just at Jorge, but that her mom left her.
Yeah, by dying.
Yes, by dying, but like that's such a true emotion.
Yeah.
You know, the thing that you don't really say aloud, and It's very sad. And then Katie tells Jorge the thing that spurs Jorge on to come out as Ginger to his mom is, coming from someone who wishes her mom was still around, that he should tell his while she's still there to understand it.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really sweet and sad. And right off of that, Jorge tells Katie it's time to open her mom's box. Landslide starts playing, which is unfair.
Yeah, that's a, devastating song choice.
I'm already sad.
Yeah.
Enough already.
A slowed down, more emotional version of Landslide?
Yes. And Katie cries as she's looking through the memorabilia, and she discovers there's fabric in there.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, rather than saving that fabric, why don't you use it to make your strongest suit? And rather than the sewing machine, they all work together to sew together the dress for Gloria. It's very sweet. And Gloria, in fact, really likes it a lot, isn't going to wear it. She got her own dress. But gives her the recommendation letter, or we assume gives her the recommendation
letter. I like this. They cut away before we know, and then only later when Katie walks in super sad and then whips out the letter to show Jorge reveal that, like, she got the letter.
Yeah. And meanwhile, on the Josie bend, Alex fixes up the entire studio for Josie.
Yeah.
She tells him that Xandra leaked the story, and she makes a spur-of-the-moment decision to kiss him, which clearly is, like, taking the money, sealing the deal. This is definitely going to rom-com it up in a couple of episodes' time.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind.
And we also get a nice moment. Jorge does something special for Katie, gets his grandmother's sewing machine, sets it up in the apartment, and that's where we get the Lacey's reveal underneath her mom's sewing machine.
Yeah, I loved all this. This was one of, I mean, I know there's only been five episodes, but this is one of my favorite episodes so far, for sure.
Yeah, I agree. So much happened in such a contained way. And I think the real lesson here is that polar vortex, cold weather makes you honest.
Ooh.
Warm weather makes you lie. That's why you go to Florida.
Yeah. Now, we haven't done a lot of New York truths this episode. Before we wrap up here, and I know this was a quicker, shorter episode, but let's... Yeah. What New York truths should we talk about? What's appropriate?
A New York truth in this episode?
Yeah, or something like about New York. Should we talk about like coldest days?
Well, I will say...
let's talk about coldest days. Snowy days.
Well, I will say snowy days are a little bit better because when it truly, like when New York gets dumped on with snow, everything does shut down.
Yeah.
And it's like a free day. There have been so many magical days I've had where everything was shut down, didn't have to work or anything, and you just go, bars open. This is in Brooklyn specifically. Bars open. And everyone walks through the snow, bar, hangs out. I was in the bar that I used to bartend at for many years the night that this is warmer weather. The hurricane came through, and we all stayed there until it was like, well, we should leave.
Yeah.
This is too dangerous. But there is that sort of like you're in one place, there's something crazy happening, and it does get everyone to get out of their comfort zone a little bit, open up, and get into stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel that. Like, it's like we were saying, people in New York are not afraid of anything. And they're as much as like you hear people talking about, oh, coronavirus, I'm just grabbing so much water, I'm getting ready to be quarantined inside of my house. Most of the time, when it is an epic snowstorm or tornado, rare time a tornado tears through or anything like that, people definitely grab all the goods and then they're like, oh, is it over? Okay, time to go to the bar, you know, time to go out, time to go like sledding with my kids in the park or whatever you're going to do. I remember when there was the big blackout a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It's great. Everybody was like, oh, the power's out? Okay, time to start playing music in the streets. Let's do this. Yeah. Here we go.
I got
to
cook all this food and drink all this beer in my
it
fridge.
It was amazing. Yeah. I walked home in utter darkness. Everybody was having a great time on the street. Those are kind of like the best days in New York. When you realize that myth of the rude New Yorker, sure, there's rude people, but it doesn't really exist. Like, everybody is more than happy to relate to each other all the time.
Yeah, and especially when something out of the ordinary is happening, like weird weather or anything that gets people out of the like routine, that's when New Yorkers are like, yes, it's like snow day, let's all get crazy. Everyone is, and that's when that New Yorker vibe of like, we're all in this together really is at its best.
Yeah. So from us and the New York Tourism Board, come on down anytime. We'll show you around to the sites. The Empire State Building, Times Square,
Chubby's Studio, Plunkin' Donuts.
We should run a Katie Keene tour.
That would be very fun. Yeah. It'd be tricky to some of the fictional places will be hard to...
This is, you got Macy's, you got Washington Heights. We did drive through Washington Heights other day, we were like, Pete specifically was like, who's not here this episode, but Pete was like, is that where the lighthouse is? Are we passing by the lighthouse now? And I looked for it, but I couldn't find the lighthouse.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. We did see another lighthouse on the top of a building, I want to say in North Queens, heading toward the Bronx.
Yeah.
But on our weekly tour of New York, right. We survey all of the city.
Right. We got to make sure everybody's okay. We got to make sure all Katie's spots are okay.
Yeah, Katie. We're preserving Katie's legacy. Right.
Ever since that incident where her ring got stolen, we're constantly stalking pizza places.
Yeah, we're like vigilantes. We're vigilantes for fictional things that will never be real.
Yes, absolutely. If you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. at the People's Improv Theater Loft in New York. Come on by. We'll definitely chat with you about Katie Keene. Socially, we have a bunch of Riverdale outlets where we also put up Katie Keene stuff. We have at Riverdale Dark on Twitter, at Riverdale After on Instagram, at Riverdale After Dark on Facebook, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more, iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. To subscribe on iTunes in particular, if you could leave us a comment, that would be great. And remember, like the snowflakes that fall down, every dream is individual and every dream is special.
Wow. Let's rewind that and listen to that again at night.
Put it out of a t-shirt.
Tuck me in.
Yeah.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.